What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee. And if you were wondering who this beautiful woman sitting next to me is my sister, Tiffany Daniels Sy. Let's give it up for my sister. Everybody can clap. This is good. And my sister is, she's the most talented person in the family. And we started a family business, a signature scent company. So if you like smoke a lot of weed in your car and you want to get the scent out, you have to check out these scents. I know guys that use it for the weed. I know people that use it for cologne and everywhere they go to get compliments. We make candles. We make
room sprays. We got them in kits. So if you want to buy something for your loved one or anybody, you know, that you care about, hit us up, LorraineCo.com.
And we're going to put the website at the bottom of it. But support this black business, support this black woman, and order, I promise you guys. As a matter of fact, use the word gods, and we'll give you 15% off. I just made that up, so if my sister's face looks crazy, don't get mad at her. I'll eat that. But guys, when I tell you this shit is incredible, you really should check this out.
The best scents ever.
LorraineCo.com. And we'll put it at the bottom of the screen. Thank you.
Thanks.
Peace and love. It's Rick the Negotiator.
And this is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee, and welcome to The Culture Report. And today we have two very special guests. We got one more person that's going to join us. We got Atlanta royalty. We got Atlanta business royalty. We got Atlanta culture royalty. That's why we're doing The Culture Report. I want you guys to give it up for the legendary DJ Jalen.
What's up?
And the architect, the guy who is responsible for the model that these other guys are following, building these festivals with, you know, when you get that love fest and, you know, you're going to get Jeezy, you're going to get some R&B, you're going to get Keith Sweat. We got the architect. We got the architect, Leo Bennett. Let's go. I got to put it close. Man, thanks for coming on, man.
Appreciate
you, bro. This is the Culture Report. We talk about a lot of things, but I figure we should talk about what you guys are doing because, you know, you guys are bringing love back. You guys have created the environment where black folks can go and no one says, where's your gun? I don't know if it's the word fest feels like love. I don't know what it is, but like, what was the thought process with going into building A-Town Fest and just the festival business that you saw? Like, what was your thought process?
Well, you know, the process of the festival side is really to bring people together. It's like a big outdoor family picnic, right? Mm-hmm. My vision was to bring all demographics, all genres of ages together to celebrate that hip hop community, especially with A-Town Music Fest. You guys have a lot of culture here in Atlanta. Atlanta is where that hip hop community for the South started.
Yes.
You know, I mean, this is the Outkast, you know, from Outkast to Goody Mob. And being and seeing how that's grown to where it is today, you know, we wanted to kind of like curate that environment to where people can come and enjoy the culture where it started here in Atlanta.
For sure.
And so my vision was to bring that kind of music. You know, Jelly was one of the visionaries that started out. My mentor, big, you know, was Greg Street. You know, Greg kind of put me in the game years
ago. Man, Greg Street doesn't help so many people, bro.
Yeah.
You don't get enough props for that. So many people that sat in the same couch were like, Greg Street was the first person. So
yeah, that was the guy who introduced me to this whole, you know, industry. Real talk back in 95. So that's a whole nother story. But yeah, so we wanted to curate Atlanta's, you know, premier artists that started that hip hop community here in Atlanta and put a festival together to make that happen. So that's how, you know, the vision came. Myself, Marvin Arrington, actually Richard Dunn was a part of that as well.
Richard Dunn.
In the beginning,
love
yes sir.
Richard.
Yes,
Richard sir. Dunn. So when you were, so like, what are the struggles? What are the, like, obviously we see it from the standpoint of coming, but like, what are the struggles from the inside? Like, what are the some of the hangups that you like, you gotta have this. If you don't have this, this would be bad. Like, what?
Yeah. So from a festival standpoint, there's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah.
You can go into a theater and when you rent the building, all the pieces are there.
Yeah.
They have the security. They have the, you know, the advertising, the marketing. They've got the production set up. They got the stage. With a festival, you're actually building from scratch.
Yes.
A lot of my festivals, I look at an outdoor field.
Yeah.
So I have to bring in the stage. We have to bring in the fencing. We have to get the permits from the city.
Yeah.
Especially when you're going to cities where they look at our music as, you know, where we might be a problem.
Problematic.
You know, yeah. And a lot of these people, you already know, that's like.
For sure, I already know you're fighting that.
You're coming here to Who's do a coming? Festival. Oh, well, who are the artists? And you start seeing the Jeezys and the 2 Chainz and, oh, you know, now the police bill goes from $5,000 to $50,000.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Because they already think we're going to be a problem.
Wow.
So we have to prove to them, okay, I'm used to that. You know, I get used to that every city I go to.
Yeah.
It's like a show and prove type of thing. And they already think because of who we are, oh, we ain't going to pay the bill. Or, you know, they going, you know, so it's a lot of things you have to.
You fight mental hangups before you even start before doing black facts.
Yes. Before you even 6 months out.
Yes.
You know, six, 7 months out. You know, this ain't something you can do in 30 days.
Yeah.
So it's a process. So after building this and seeing how, you know, we have to go through the struggle of fighting that barrier, you know, and you have to prove yourself. But for me, it's just a passion, man. Mm. You know, it's that drive that you get, especially when somebody tells you no, you can't do it.
Yeah.
And you know, you gotta prove them, you know. So
you wanna show them that you could do it.
Yeah, so the struggles are real. You know, it's a lot of moving parts. It's months of planning, months of meetings with the team, you know, getting the right talent, curating the right artists together.
Yeah.
And you know, it's all at risk though. You gotta take that risk.
You like that. You got somebody said you gotta have
Riverboat Gambler.
Big balls.
Right.
Because you lose it. It's not like regular business, Jelly, where you might lose. I might have lost $10,000 last night. No, no.
Man, look,
you're losing your whole year budget.
I lost $500,000 in a day.
What?
In a day.
What do you do?
The wins, you got to win more than you lose, man. That's really like anything else. You know, you can run away. When you take that L, if you walk away, that L can never, it's gone.
Yeah.
So you got to figure out how to get it back.
Yeah.
And so it's a challenge, man. But over the years, I've won more than I lost. So
yeah.
You know, it's 25 years in the game right now, so, yeah.
Man, that's crazy. So, if somebody's watching at home, right, and they're like, by the way, the reason why I know your name is because I know a lot of people that want to do this, but they always speak about you as if you solve the problem. What is it that you know that they don't know? Is it that you have the relationships as you've been in it so long? Like, what is it that when you come, it's like, oh, that's Leo? Okay, let them get ours, then we'll try to get ours off.
I think, well, it's mainly, I think me coming into the festival side was in 1998.
Yeah.
And so in starting this this festival called Funk Fest, which was my brand out of Mobile, Alabama.
Mm.
You know, I'm originally from Mobile.
Shout out to Mobile,
Mobile's
Alabama.
Mobile's home of Mardi Gras. Y'all might not know
No. We absolutely know.
Let's talk about this.
We just absolutely know.
Like everybody, New Orleans, nah.
I heard y'all's is way better.
Yeah. And it's more family oriented.
Yeah, that's what they said. They said it's not like women showing their body.
New Orleans,
yeah.
You know, you're going to get that action. You ain't gonna get that action in Mobile. You go to jail.
Yeah.
But you know, you. But that's where the family started. You know, that's where, and we curated that in Mobile, and it's been, you know, that's like people come home that's from Mobile all across the world, and even people not from, you know, that city, they'll come and experience that original Mardi Gras. You know, so just you know, I know we all
trust.
That's where it started.
Me and Rick know. We met someone who was like Mobile, Alabama, first Mardi Gras.
We'll
like every time
you
fight, I mean, we'll not let. As soon as you said Mobile, I said Mardi Gras.
You
got to say
that's
something.
Our little claim to fame. But yeah, so to get back to your question, the you know, I wanted to. I've been doing. You know, I started out in comedy. Honestly, I worked a lot. I invested in Walter Latham, who had the Kings of Comedy.
Yeah.
You know, my first comedy investment was with him in a New Orleans show. And comedy was like much easier. You got a mic, no big production, no backline. It's just, it was a real low budget kind of, you know, investment, but it grew and grew and built up. So I started looking at the hip hop side with Greg Street. Greg used to be on the radio in Mobile. That's where I met him when I was in high school.
Yeah.
And my first hip hop show was Outkast in Mobile.
Mm-hmm.
They had just dropped their album. Greg got them to come down and perform. Yep. And so I started doing that, you know, club stuff, you know, the one-off concerts. But I was like, you know what? The festival side seemed like you had more of opportunity to create different kinds
synergy.
Of income. Income too.
Mm.
Because you don't have to just
business
worry
man.
About
Jelly, you
the
went straight to the
sales,
business.
You know?
I love it.
You got the parking, you got the concessions.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So you're risking the same amount of money,
mm-hmm.
but you have way more income streams than just ticket sales.
Yeah.
But not only the scary thing is you're outside, right? And people
weather,
get scared about the weather.
Weather.
And that's a whole nother story too. That was one of the
I was about to say the biggest loss had to be a rainy day.
Until you learn about rain insurance. So there's ways you can still make money off of that. It's just it brought to my vision, like, look, hey, this could be something that you can take a risk, but you have way more ways of bringing in money. So in my vision, I was like, well, let's partner with the radio station in Mobile, you know, find out how they could curate or come to us and be like, hey, let's put together a festival that for the family, you know, like your grandma could come, the niece could come, you know, everybody, you want to present something where you have artists that hit every generation.
For sure.
Most of these festivals, they'll curate, they'll have like, okay, it's all hip hop. Yeah. And it's all that one genre of hip hop, or it's all R&B, but it's the same genre of R&B. Yeah. But you know, we started putting like a Charlie Wilson with a Jeezy.
Which is crazy.
Or, you know, and may even have a comedian host.
Yeah.
With a blues act.
Yes.
With a King George.
Yeah.
Or Najee playing jazz. So you have all these different types of artists, different genres of music on one show.
Yeah.
So now you're reaching and you're hitting all demographics of different people that's going
to
come.
Because they come, they might come to see this guy.
Right.
And they end up seeing.
And you actually learn the culture because you might not be a hip hop guy.
Yeah.
But you might have Goody Mob performing and the length, you know, Some of the most conscious rappers I know in that group. And now you're like, oh, you know what? Those guys are saying something. You
yes,
know?
For sure.
You might not even listen to hip-hop like that, but then you're there to see Najee or you're there to see King George, but you have to sit through these other artists and you're learning other types of music. And, you know, that was my vision. And, you know, we built that from day one.
I'm going to say this. I already know you're smart. And I know you're really smart because you're from Mobile, Alabama, and you come here and the DJ sitting next to you is Atlanta Royalty.
Awesome.
It's the only DJ in the city. Nobody, I don't give a damn what anybody, I don't care if you came here in the 90s to go to Clark and you, like, I don't care if you the Super Friends, you fucking the affiliate, I don't care who you are.
For sure.
Everybody puts respect on DJ Jelly.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody, bro. Like, I've had one person, I don't think I've ever heard a negative thing said about you. How the hell do you do that, bro?
Man, God. You know, that's about it. Uh-huh. You know, to keep it 100, just God.
And, yeah.
You know, it's no, you know, cookbook. It's no grocery list of how I do it. It's just I enjoy hip-hop. I enjoy community. I enjoy people. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And as a DJ, I enjoy, you know, curating and giving people the music, the information.
Yeah.
You know, like, because in the early 90s, people wasn't studying none of that dirty South music. They was laughing at me. I was going up and down the Carolinas.
I'm about to say, you went
Virginia.
Through
the... They was with me like, you playing all this country-ass music.
Yeah.
I didn't give a damn, but I got them turn up and rock a New York set just as flawless.
Yeah.
With no problem, because I love hip-hop.
Yeah.
And this man right here, I've been rocking with him at least 10 years. And it's funny, Leo, we were talking off camera before this, and I was like, he was like, we started A-Town Fest in 2017, but it might have been because... My youngest daughter, I think I was messing with you with the Funk Festival right before that, with 112. She was born. I was actually DJing, and my youngest daughter was born. I had to leave from the Funk Fest and go outside in the parking lot and watch on my iPhone my daughter being born. Wow. About all my children, I had never... I was on the iPhone, but I was working
with
her. Yeah. You were just like, man,
I'm a good guy. I'll let you go.
So that was dope, though. It's just that, you know, I've been on this journey with him, and... And, you know, I appreciate it. I've been stoked rocking with you on that.
This is the greatest.
I got to ask you a question, Jelly. As an Atlanta native, and you're way more Atlanta than I wish I could be. What is your favorite Atlanta era hip hop?
Favorite Atlanta era hip hop?
You started with the MC Assault days.
Right, the MC Assault days. Shouts out to the MC Assault. Shout out to the whole Oom camp. I would definitely say everything before 2000. I'm talking about literally from 90 to 2000.
That was the best Atlanta moment.
Just that era, it was so many different levels and interesting artists at that time. It was varied.
Yeah.
It wasn't like it is now where you got one kind of Atlanta artist. Now this was like, you know, the people who broke the mold from Kilo to Outkast to Luda.
Arrested Development. Like Arrested just like just the variety that came out of the city. Yeah.
All these people were so unique.
Yeah.
Atlanta never had that.
Yeah.
That was from 90 to 2000. Sammy Sam, all these artists were unique.
Yeah. And that's what made
They represent the east part of the...
And you know the thing I liked about it? They were okay being local.
Yeah.
Get me wrong. You, like, if you loved if New York acknowledged you, but you didn't, that's not what we hung our hats on.
Mm-mm. Right.
Like, if they didn't like you in New York, so when Dre said the South got something to say, that was like, for us, like, you fucking right, we do. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Everything. Yeah. But you really are smart. Rick, I'm going to switch out real quick, because you're really smart, because you also have Atlanta Royalty, who you brought on to be a part of the festival. I'm about to bring them on. Marvin Aronson, let's go. Come on. This is why always, and every time I see you, Ma, every time I see you, every time I see you, I tell you this. I'm like, this is why Atlanta the shit. Because we'll be somewhere out and about.
Right.
And we'll be at, we had Funk Fest, or we had A-Town Fest last year. Marvin walks up with his bucket hat on, you know, like, and people like who, I'm like, you know, I got people from out of town. I'm like, oh, that's Marvin. Like, this is his event. It's like, who? I was like, you know, his dad got streets named after him in this city. Right. You know, he's Fulton County Commissioner, right?
Right.
He's Fulton County Commissioner. I'm like, and he's here kicking it with us.
Right.
That's why Atlanta's unstoppable. Welcome. You my dog. Hey, I just want to welcome you. Let's go.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me, man. You know, excited about this A-Town Music Fest.
I'll tell you funny. They tell me, because I didn't know Jelly was coming until like maybe yesterday. But they my team him was like, yo, you want to talk to da-da-da? And there's certain names you hear where you say, I don't care what they want to do, say yes. When they was like, Marvin, I was like, well, Marvin, I don't give a fuck what he wants to do. The answer is yes.
Right.
Like, I'm like, y'all don't understand who he is. Like, it's like, and by the way, he don't move like that, but it's still power in Atlanta because he could come in smooth like that and go right to work and then have a concert and we there.
Yeah.
That's what Atlanta's about, man. It's no limits to us as black people. It's no limits very to diverse. What we could do.
Yeah, very diverse.
It's no limit, man. So Marv, like, what made you want to be involved with the A-Town? Like, what made you want to diversify?
Hey, well, you know, we do entertainment law. I'm a lawyer.
For
we
sure.
do entertainment law.
Represent so, me. I represent by that. I've cut a lot of checks to that. Marvin Arrington.
Yeah,
I love it.
Shout out
Arrington
Vince
Phillips. Up.
Yeah, shout out to Vince. And so, I mean, it's really the natural extension of what we do every day, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I come from throwing parties like First Friday.
I heard legendary Saturday. Stories. I heard stories, yeah.
So, you know, I got that entertainment background anyway. And there was an opportunity at the Wolf Creek Amphitheater. And so I put Richard Dunn with Leo. For the first one back in 2017.
He remembered the year. See, you confirmed the year.
Yeah. Back in 2017. So, you know, it was just a great pulling together of different Atlanta people, right? Leo was doing Funk Fest.
Yep.
Richard Dunn. We had to make sure Jelly was there. We had Big Boy at the first one and Young Bloods.
Crazy.
So, you know, it's just great, man, to be a part of the culture, right? The ATL culture. And, you know, it permeates everything. It transcends through everything, through politics, through law, whatever. It transcends all that stuff.
I love being from Atlanta. I love traveling the world. You don't see this. And y'all know that. You don't see us in power. Like, who was that dude with the bucket hat on? He's the head man in charge. Oh, shit. Right. You know, usually it's a white man in a suit walking around. They're like, he got to be the boss. No, he works for us, though. He works for us.
Well, that's one of the things that we're proud of, right? This is 100% black-owned music festival.
And from what I know, it's the longest. You're the longest owner of a most successful from a black owner of a music festival, am I right?
Well, yeah, with Funk Fest brand, was, you know, we just celebrating our 25th year anniversary this year.
And by the way, y'all set the trends now, because, I mean, you got those new promoters, the new black promoters that's going out, like, taking New Edition out.
Yeah.
Like, that might be y'all, too. I might be the mafia.
Yeah.
Y'all might be the mafia. Y'all might be like, that's us, too. That was just, but I'm saying, like, I love the trend of us showing our own importance, right? Because, you know, you might look at the numbers and be like, oh, New Edition, they only have 2 million monthly listeners. It's like, nigga, those 2 million people are going to all buy a ticket.
Yeah. Every one of them.
Every one of them.
Every
sometimes
time.
Twice, because you know you got chicks that won't go on different nights. You know, you know, there's always a reason. I'm trying to tell you. Like,
they have a Rolling Stone type of cult.
Yes.
You know? It's like, those I call those black Rolling Stones. Really.
But I feel like we're changing our narrative. And to me, that's why even this show is important, because we need people to see, like, you can start from Mobile, Alabama.
Yeah.
And create a festival that is like worldwide, everybody, the people come from all over the world to enjoy. You can do that, and you can trust each other, because that's to me, I want this a culture report, so I want to bring up a little politics and just talk about, because I saw Dave Chappelle last night. He was talking about the race, and
I was there.
Yeah, you was there too. Yeah. So you was at the 7 o'clock show, the 10.
10
okay, I was at the first one, but I was looking at, you know, like, I'm learning that there is a lack of trust we have in each other.
100%.
And we don't talk about that enough. Like, we gotta learn, and that's why I like this, because it's trust.
Yeah.
Is we need each other. It's not, fuck him. Like, we don't need him, get him.
Right.
And for me, we need to trust each other more. Like, what is it? Yeah. Do y'all have like rules that y'all live by? Do y'all have like thought processes that y'all bring where it's like a checklist? Like, it got to look like this if I'm going to do it, because I'm just asking.
I mean, Marvin and I, you know, we have a real funny relationship. Not funny, but how we thought. You know, so fun fact here. So being in Mobile, we opened up a club. I had a club there back in the day. Originally, the club name was Funk Jazz Cafe. Mm. Now, I used to come to Atlanta all the time. My uncle was the principal here at out in Decatur, middle school out in Decatur, Gresham
okay.
Middle School.
Okay.
I used to play baseball back in the day at Gresham Park.
Got you.
But anyway, long story short, you know, started seeing these events here called the Funk Jazz Cafe. Been to them a couple of times, but you know, I'm right out of college. I'm not thinking about the legal names and, you know, having to deal with the legal side. So we opened up a club in Mobile. I'm like, man, I like that vibe of Funk Jazz Cafe. So we're going to call this Funk Jazz Cafe. So I'm, you know, grand opening Funk Jazz Cafe on the awning.
They go to lawyer.
Look, 2 days after we open up, I get a phone call. I'm set up the bar. It's about 1 o'clock. Phone rings in the club. I'm like, damn, we just opened. Who calling the phone? Answer the phone. It's a lawyer on the phone. He's like, hey, is this the owner? I'm like, nah, this ain't the owner.
No, you know, black people, like, we gonna duck and dodge so we know who you are.
How can I help you?
Yeah,
this is Marvin Arrington. We need a cease and desist ASAP. You know, you guys are using our trademark. I'm like, huh? What trademark?
Yeah.
Well, Funk Jazz.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Cafe is a trademark in Atlanta, Georgia. This guy's on the phone talking to me.
Yeah.
This is in 1997.
Buff was after it.
And funny fact, you know, a lot of my frat brothers, one of my frat brothers, that I pledged at FAM, Upside.
For sure.
And Kevin, Pee-wee. Pee-wee's my line brother. Pee-wee and him did a lot of events together, right?
Yeah, First Fridays, yeah. So, and we grew up together.
So I called Pee-wee. I'm like, man, you know this guy. Who the hell is my man? He's like, oh, that's my dog. That's my business partner, man. Why you asking? He's like, he just called my phone talking about we got to cut off the sign and change that shit up. And so that's how we actually kind of, our first interaction on the phone. Yeah. Was him calling me with a cease and desist.
but even though that's the beauty of that is that the beauty of that is that y'all later. Met as adversaries, yeah. But y'all became brothers because we can trust each other. It's just business. I'm protecting my house, you protecting your house. Business, it's just business.
It's just business. And you can disagree without being disagreeable, right?
Yeah. Right.
And so, you know, we had that initial disagreement. I was representing Jason Orr and Funk Jazz Cafe.
Yep.
But like you say, it was just business.
Yeah.
And he didn't take it that way. And, you know, you don't have to present it in a way that's, you know, going to incite someone to. So, hey, look, hey, this is what it is. Right. But, yes, so we started out like that, got back together 2017 to make sure that we – bro.
Don't have no season desist.
We ain't gonna pause.
Highlighted the ATL culture. At the ATL Music Fest.
Yeah. So listen, man, this is the Culture Report. So we speak about the guests, but we like to talk about subjects. And Marv, while you're here, I just gotta ask you, like, what do you think Kamala has to do to win? Like, you understand politics from a way different level, like. And I don't even know if it's okay for you to speak on it. You might be able to say, Ray, I can't talk about that because of my job. Like, I'm just saying, I'm like at home, you know, sometimes we feel hopeless. That's why I love Atlanta so much, because I got your phone number. If I need to get to you or if I get to Andre, I can get directly to y'all. So it's a safety I feel here.
Right.
Even when the police fucking me, I'm like, hey, man, you better leave me the phone. You know,
right.
Call my nigga. I know it's 1 o'clock in the morning, but I got to get out of jail free card. Leave me the fuck alone. You know what I'm trying to say? So I'm just asking you, like, what do you think Kamala needs to do to win?
So, I mean, I think she's already doing it, right?
Got you.
You see this excitement. You see this energy. It almost feels like 2008 when Obama was running,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
All of the women are excited. All of the black women are excited. The black men are excited. And so I think it gave the campaign a much needed boost of energy, right?
Yes.
And I think she's going out and prosecuting the case,
yeah,
of telling why she is a much better. There's no comparison as a person.
There's
right?
none. There's none.
She's just a better person.
Yes.
Than the other guy. I'm not even gonna say his
name. For sure.
She's just a better person.
Yeah.
Let alone a better leader and all the things that it takes to be president of the United States.
Dave Chappelle said something last night, and I'm gonna repeat it. I hope it's okay, because you know you don't have the phones out. But he says something that I thought was important. He said the way Kamala can win is if Biden quits right now. He said, give her the seat today.
Make her
make her president today. That's for the next few months. So that way America, the uncomfortable America who might be uncomfortable with a black woman leading, can see her sitting in the president's seat to know it's okay or whatever it is that they think. But a lot of us don't, a lot of us are not like, and when he said that, I was the first one, I was like, now that can work.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's a fear. Black people, we're all excited, but there's a fear of black women and maybe like, because black women do have an air like, shit, we done been through so much shit. Carry yourself, baby, black girl magic. You that motherfucker, you need to feel like that.
Right.
But America feels like they might be afraid of the, like the black girl magic vibe and oh, you think you better. It's not that, it's just nobody told me I was shit my whole life.
Yeah.
So I gotta tell myself I'm this shit. And part of me if that makes you uncomfortable, but I got it. I never was told I was a shit, so I had to tell myself, and you still got a problem with it. But when he said that, I was like, she can win. Mm-hmm. If he did that. So I was really asking, because like, we don't, like, obviously it's politics, it's all theater, but when I saw her smiling, it was like, and my fear, I'm just telling you my fear, because I say real shit, I don't bullshit. My fear is that America is going to hype us up to let her down and say, we gave y'all one. And y'all really didn't give us one. Joe quit, and that was the only option. So it wasn't like we all got behind it. It was just like, oh, this is a good time. Yeah. It's like the movie Head of State. Remember Chris Rock? It was like, we can't win. Let's find somebody who can lose. And I'm like, nah.
Yeah.
She can really win if they really just rally around her the right way. So I just wanted y'all thoughts.
You know, that would be real historic, right?
Yeah.
I mean, she would be the first female president. Go ahead and do it. I have been thinking the same thing myself, right? Like, why not just go ahead and make her president, right? And then she's already in.
Yep.
And I think that would, again, create even more energy, right? And get us past that point. Because to your point, America is more sexist than it is racist. Right? And so that might actually break the barrier.
And my thing is, sometimes you have to show people. Like Kendrick says, sometimes you got to pop out and show niggas. Like, sometimes you got to just show, because it's like, because, you know, it's like, even when Trump won, I remember it was like a grim feeling over America, like, we're doomed. And then he get in the chair and you realize it's just more the same shit, but life goes on.
Yeah.
And I feel like in order to let history prevail, and it's one man's word, and if he really loves the Democratic Party, he would quit right now.
Absolutely.
And say, she's the president. Now, give her the seat, let her see that, and I think we have a really good chance. Because right now, this is like for me, my fear is if that a white woman who was from the system, who was raised in the system, who was famous, lost to this dude, like, and we was rallying around her too, like, y'all better fucking show up for her too.
Right.
Y'all better show. I'm just talking about like, and we need to call people out if they don't. You better show up for her, because if we don't, I mean, like, and I don't have a problem with Trump, but I'm afraid of him being president now, because I'm afraid he's going to change the rules and he's going to die in the White House.
Yeah, no. And
that's my fear.
No, and he's already called it, right? He's already said that he's going to do it.
By the way, they say that if we don't win, it's going to be a civil war. Get ready for it. Like, bro, we got to change that energy, bro.
Yeah, that energy got to go.
We got to change that energy, bro, because if we don't, it's going to set us back 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
Like, and he really can do that. And right, and when I heard Chappelle yesterday, because I was on a fence, and when I heard Chappelle yesterday, it was like I didn't understand the magnitude of a black woman going against this considered evil man in certain worlds who just got a attempt assassination. Like, right. This nigga is Tupac, bro. This
right. But that's, yeah.
This nigga said, I took a bullet. It's like, you know what I'm saying? I took a bullet for the culture. I took a bullet for democracy.
Yeah.
I'll do it. God done gave this nigga something to talk about.
The white model American white cowboy. Yep. That's American man. That's what he is.
He symbolizes
that.
That's real.
Yeah, surviving assassination, you know, that was a rally for him.
Come on, man.
You know, that was a whole nother boost.
Somebody said that if he would have came out to 50 Cent Many Men, he would have won the whole black vote. When he came out, if he came out to that, the black vote would have been his. We talk about it, chill out. He playing 50 Cent, bro. He gets it a little bit.
But it's so much more important than just the president, right?
Yep.
Because none of us.
What's good, y'all? This is Ray Daniels, aka the Culture Referee, and I'm here to talk to you about YKTV Magazine, which is the number one magazine for prison entertainment. These prisoners are sitting in jail. They have nothing to do but read these magazines and read your ads, buy your music, support your business, anything that you can do that's online commerce. They already have published over 140 magazines with 36 major artists that have covered it, and I'm giving you an opportunity to advertise this magazine and get directly to an audience that you know has the time and the money to spend. Info at the bottom, info at the God Show. Holla at us, whether you're an artist, producer, whoever you are. We can help you with your business. Holla at us to get to YKTV.
If we're waiting on any one person to save us, we in trouble.
Period.
Correct.
We got to save ourselves.
Period.
Right? And frankly, the Supreme Court and who gets to appoint the next two Supreme Court nominees is more important than anything, because that's going to have a longer lasting legacy than the 4-year term or whatever that the president is going to be in there.
Yeah, but he already did it. That's why he put them in place in his last thing, and they got him off. No president could be prosecuted ever for a crime they committed. Like these, and I'm looking at it like, bro, I just wish that we played dirty too. Yeah. I wish that the blue side played, like, and when you watch the documentaries, it's a documentary on how they stole the election. I don't know who it is, but you have the guy. He's a big person in a part. I think it's like Stone. His last name is Stone. He's a big white guy in the Republican Party. And he was like, he's laughing at us. The Democrats are weak. Like, all we did was say they're stealing votes, and everybody went crazy. And it was like, he's admitting the lie right there. Like the arrogance. And I just feel like Democrats should just be arrogant. Like, fuck you. This is what we doing. Yeah. We here. Like, we playing rap music when we come. Because they don't care. When they play that Proud to Be American, that shit, that's cold for it ain't for.
Yeah, right.
She didn't come out to Kendrick. They not like us, man. I mean, go black as you can possibly go and let them people see. If we're going to march out, it's like with Obama on his last few months. It was like the White House is black, nigga.
Yeah,
You know, she got that Beyonce Freedom jump going now, which is.
Come on, Beyonce gave us a song.
It gives you chills when you hear it, right?
Yeah, it lets you see it. Do you think, do you think that is the. By the way, I'm only asking this because I don't understand the politics of it all. Do you think that the trial before that we're filing in Atlanta, does that affect the presidency? Because I almost feel like that went away.
Well, I think it's going to be some time, right? You know, he filed an appeal.
Gotcha. I'm like, it got quiet, right?
It typically takes anywhere from 6 months to 2 years for the Court of Appeals to rule on an issue.
Yeah.
And even if it doesn't take them that long, even if it takes them 3 to 6 months, by the time they send it back down and they actually have a trial, I don't think that it'll happen.
Yeah, that's what it almost feels like. It's like, fuck.
Too long, yeah.
They try to kill him. Like, this nigga Omar from The Wire, bro. Like, it's like, he coming back. He coming back. But like, everybody's like, just lay down, give it to him. But the one person that can get somebody together. Nobody gets somebody together in America like a black woman.
Yeah,
a black woman.
Yeah. Check black your woman ass. You be thinking, yeah. I'm talking about, why you think we act like this? They checking us in the house from birth. Like, don't
Can you imagine when she debates against them? She's going to be so point on board.
Yeah.
She's going to be
but,
so.
But you know the thing about, the thing you got to understand is that like a lot of people don't, like if you don't understand politics, you don't understand Republican Party. They get in line. Mm-hmm. Nigga, yes. It could be the devil running.
Yes.
Republicans, yeah. As long as they voting for their shit, they get in line. Absolutely. So, you know what I'm trying to say? So, when you think about, like, how we move, it's like, we can't afford not to.
Yeah.
Because when you can't even make sense of it, you just kind of got to just say, like, Trump is like a mixtape. He's like a walking rapper, my nigga. Like, mm-hmm. He just knows... He don't, like, you might say you killed the people. It was needed.
Yeah, right.
America's full of punks, right? You wanna, you know, you just say some shit. You're like, you're not supposed to respond like that as a politician.
Right. He gonna say whatever.
And he understands programming, branding, crooked Hillary, crooked Hillary. Like, you couldn't even say her name. Her name wasn't even Hillary Clinton no more. No. It was crooked Hillary. He showed the power of entertainment.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. If you gonna entertain, if Trump was running against Beyonce, he would lose. If he was, listen to me, entertainer for entertainer, if he was running for Beyonce, because Taylor Swift would be her fucking vice president, and they'll smoke
this, right?
I'm just saying, but it'd be, even if Michelle Obama was running against him, this is not about, cachet and name. That's all it's about. It's voting for Trump, who we know, and Harris, who we don't know too much about, so that's why you got to just... Man, you just gotta come in. It's like Dirty Dancing, my nigga. You gotta just like I know they usually do it like this, you know. But this year I'm gonna do it a little differently. Just bring Kendrick out to perform. They not like us, nigga.
That's it.
I know that sounds crazy, but like that should motivate all these little 18-year-old kids. Like,
because
all Trump did was he just while you're saying, here's what we have to do, we have to cut taxes on the middle. He's like, I'm gonna do the biggest thing ever. Mm-hmm. Niggas, like, nigga, he ain't even explaining what he gonna do, bro. He just said it's gonna be big.
No substance. He got no substance.
He don't.
But you're right. He does know how to play the crowd. He does know how to brand and market. And he's a bigger celebrity with big name recognition. So
I just wonder why. My only thing I wonder why don't more companies, more politicians, why don't they call on hip hop culture to help market? Nobody's better at marketing.
No.
I don't give a fuck what you say. When Jeezy dropped My President Is Black,
yes,
nigga, three or four months before the election, nigga, that shit was like, that was the momentum that we need. Cause we didn't know, we still was like, we don't know.
Right. Yeah.
And when he dropped that, it was like, nigga, and then Hov pops out, it's like, bro.
Ain't no choice.
Ain't no choice. I just wish that we use hip hop more on how to market and promote. I wish that it was like Atlanta.
Well, you know, that reminds me of what you just said a moment ago, right? That came out before, which is, it relates back to why Joe needs to go on and step down, let her be president now. Mm-hmm. Go on and let us see it now.
Let us see in the chair.
Because once we heard that song, it's like, oh, we can have a black president, right?
Yes.
We can believe. We know it can happen.
And sometimes you just need people to see you presidential.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, see you in the seat. See how people react. You know, it's like music, bro. Yeah. Like, when you see them fans going crazy, that shit make you look at people different. Mm-hmm. You start looking at your homeboy different. Like, damn, bro, you a real...
Right.
You a superstar. These niggas going crazy for you, nigga. I think we might have made it in life. I don't know. Yeah. So, look, man, I know that, you know, like, I'm going to be at the A-Town Fest. We're setting up shop there. I would love to get capture content, but I would love to show the inside of the business. Like, I think the next level for black people, it used to be cribs. Show me your crib. Now it's show me your business.
Yeah.
We know you're extraordinary and that's great, but show us how to do it ourselves. And I think there's always an opportunity. It's like, I use rap music for example. Like, we all love hip hop, but it was something about backstage for me as a kid watching Dame cuss out Kevin Lyles and watching niggas say Dame's an asshole, and you like, damn, I'm an asshole. I could be a job in my trip. And then we all think, man, think I could do that. Like, I could, seeing that ushered in how many black millionaires. Think about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So for me, what we need more of is more of the A-Town Fest behind it. Like, even if it's on YouTube, you want to know how a festival runs? Mm-hmm. Even if it's going talking to everybody, like, how does this work? Like, how does this go? Like, the inside of it, because the inside shows us ourselves in it.
Right.
And then we can see ourselves in it. It goes back to the seat with Kamala. We can see ourselves in it. We can do it. And we need more of that. Yeah. So, like, I would love to, like, capture
behind
it. But, like, the how it puts together.
Yeah.
I want to show that because, bro, we the superheroes.
Yeah.
Like, I always tell people, I hate to say it, but I learned more about success from Jay-Z than I did my own father. And I love my dad. My dad's the fucking man to me, but shit, he didn't teach me what Hov taught me. Hov taught me how to go get this fucking money. That's why we celebrate him the way we do. And y'all are Hovs of y'all world. And if we don't show that, you could be the Fulton County Commissioner, but be a successful music and attorney lawyer and also have a festival. Nigga, if we ain't showing you doing that, then we doing a disservice to every kid when they say what you want to be when you grow up.
Right.
When I say, I want to be Marvin Harrington. Like, yeah. Harrington, like, what? No. Who the fuck is that? But if we don't do that,
they will never know.
That's why I started this platform. Yeah. So yeah. I just want to thank y'all for coming. I'm looking forward to A-Town Fest. And by the way, I don't know who has the power over this, but Donnie, if they ever need a host, tell them that I'm open. I don't mind. I'm just making it known. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to my brother Bank. I know I got it together, but if you just need somebody to fill in, yeah. I'm with it, man, because I love our culture. I love us. And, man, shit, man, this is powerful, man. Black men at the table talking to each other about success, educating each other, talking about how to support a black woman. Like, we need more of this shit if we're going to change the world.
Well, we need more of you too, man. You provide this, you know.
Thank you.
This space for people to come and have a conversation.
Oh no, so, man! Listen, man, it's my
people.
And
that's where it always starts. The man, conversation listen. Is key. So.
If I did this, Atlanta is not built on clout.
Right.
Nobody in Atlanta has ever built something because they wanted clout. It was always because that's what the city needed.
Correct.
And to me, we just didn't have voices. And I've been in the music business 20 years, and they love our talent. They love our talent, but they don't respect our minds.
Right.
And when I feel like it'll be like the black lawyer is the starter lawyer, you know, eventually after the talent, you know, the black lawyer get it for the first 2 years, but once they become a superstar, they're gonna bring in another lawyer from LA or New York. Mm-hmm. I know how they talk about us, how they write us off. And I'm like, no, bitch, not Atlanta. Us either, nigga.
Right,
we are not, really, we're gonna make y'all uncomfortable as fuck because we free. I'm sitting on the couch of I'm in Fulton County,
right.
Sitting on the couch of the Fulton County Commissioner, and that's my guy.
Right.
100%. I ain't gonna call him my nigga because I don't want them thinking like that's my guy.
Right.
I don't call him that because I want to show the respect that I have for who he is. Mm-hmm. And I don't care how much we see each other and break bread. Sitting on his couch still matters to me. And that's how I look at this shit, man. Yeah. So, man, listen, man, this is the Culture Report. Man, we about to do a part two. Hopefully y'all see. I want to give y'all insights of this because last thing I'm going to say, the most important, the one thing to me separating black people from running the world as our service.
Mm-hmm.
If we can focus on hospitality in our community,
right. Oh,
whatever our part of the economy is now, that shit will quadruple in 4 years. Right. If we only focus on the customer and the experience for them, not how much money I can make. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm charging. Nah. If I can charge an extra 20, mm-hmm. Nah, how much? And for me, you guys are showing, you guys are the forefront of hospitality.
Yeah.
And we got to put a light on that shit because we don't talk. Because we talk about business, but we don't talk enough about.
Yeah.
I need that customer to keep coming back.
That's it. Yeah.
And now he ain't gonna come back if I make him feel like a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
I got to make him feel like a person, a friend, absolutely. A community member, someone mm-hmm. who I understand. So I just want to salute y'all, man. Give y'all props for that. Everybody watching this needs to go to the Funk A-Town Fest. I want to say Funk Fest.
Yeah, yeah.
You built that brand. By the way, I like A-Town Fest better because it's us. Everybody, 100%. I see y'all at A-Town Fest. This is the Culture Report. Shout out to our sponsors. Shout out to you. Like, share, subscribe. And by the way, this is the first time we doing this because I ain't even sat down with Marv to talk about the ins and outs of everything he does. And I still have to put a light on you for everything that you've done in the hospitality space and the legend DJ Jelly and talk about how you're still here. I came to Atlanta in 1991. And when I came here, nobody was bigger than DJ Jelly and MC Assault. Mm-hmm. And you still here 33 years fucking thank later, God. Bro. Congratulations.
Blessing.
So we going this is the intro to other conversation, but thanks for checking out. This is the Culture Report. We are out.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.